Feelings now.
Good. Go get the Armoeg started up, JB, and bring her along here. I'll stay and keep an eye on our hosts for a while.
Sure.
Maggie was smiling fit to bust, pulling a shawl up over her sparse silver hair to protect it from the steadily falling snow.
You did good. Saved them making decisions. Dirt farmers. They don't need trouble. Too much sun and the crops fail. Too much rain and the crops fail. That's what they understand.
I know it.
Mind if we go inside? Oh boy, cold out here.
No, you can't go in. Just stand there and wait. We'll be gone soon enough. The hills around were vanishing as the snow fell more heavily, with every sign of turning to a full-blooded blizzard. The temperature was falling fast, and Brian couldn't wait to get himself snug into the shelter of the wag, and safe out of the little Washingtonville, where treachery waited behind every watery, insincere smile. The LAV was rumbling up the grade behind him, but Ryan didn't turn to watch it. He kept his eyes ranging over the group of people, also checking out the windows and doors of the nearby houses for any attempt to cold-cock them.
We didn't mean... Oh boy, not a thing. Don't need to chill me, mister.
Not about to do that. Waters flowed under the bridge.
All right, partner. I got him covered now. Climb aboard.
Ryan backed away, giving a casual wave to the old woman, who dropped him an unsteady curtsy. The metal of the wag was icy to the touch, covered in a thickening layer of fresh snow. Ryan swung himself up and into the main hatch of the turret, the automatic still firmly gripped in his right hand.
Ready?
Yeah, let's go. He eased himself quickly down the short metal ladder and into the main compartment, dropping the hatch and locking it securely in place. They'd only driven a mile when the weather closed right in around them, dropping visibility to zero. JB had eased down through the gears, but he finally brought the Armoeg to a halt.
No point going on. Might easily drive straight off the side of the world.
The interior had only just had time to warm up, but the armorer switched off the engine to conserve their precious fuel and closed the obsolets to keep out the penetrating wind and the driving snow. They waited in near darkness as the wag became colder.
It's easing.
Good.
Fancy going up top to keep an eye out for any road problems, Ryan?
No.
But you will?
Yeah. Ryan wrapped his long white silk scarf around his throat, tucking the weighted ends inside his collar. He hunched his shoulders and blinked into the freezing wind. The snow had almost stopped, but the temperature was still way below freezing, and the highway was icy and treacherous. He glanced down at his chron, seeing that it was already more than 3.5 hours since they'd left the Ville of Mitchell Springs. They'd only gone a mile or so along the snaking blacktop when Ryan spotted movement ahead of them, 3 figures slipping through the rutted snow, about 100 yards in front.
People on the road ahead.
I see them.
Slow right down. I got a feeling I can guess who they are, and... Yep.
It was the trio of hunters that they'd seen carrying out the massacre at the Stickies' camp.
Hey, stop, will ya?
One of them stepped out into the middle of the road, waving his arms over his head. JB slowed and stopped 50 paces away from the man. Ryan made sure that the stire was very visible.
What do you want?
The man was flushed, and one hand kept touching himself across his stomach, as if he were in some kind of discomfort.
Supposed to be a Ville close by, friend.
You mean Mitchell Springs?
Yeah, that's it. Far?
It'll take you a good hour in this weather.
Got caught in the snow. Seems warmer now.
Think we can get beds and food there?
Reckon so.
They got a medic there?
I don't know. You sick?
We all feel poorly, friend. Some sort of fever. Headaches like the worst of a jolt downer. And we all got a... churned up bellies.
Shitting sickness?
None of the 3 hunters answered him, looking at one another in silence. Ryan lowered himself farther into the hatch.
Could be you good old boys been rooting where you shouldn't.
What the fuck's that mean, mister?
Have a real good time in Mitchell Springs. Your sort of folks.
Ryan lowered the hatch again.
Let's go, JB.
The wag started up past the three dying men, leaving them behind. Ryan watched them out of the rear op slit until a bend in the road concealed them from him. The dead member of the Slaves of Sin that lay at Doc's feet in the rustling stillness of the barn had fouled himself, the stench flooding the darkness. Doc stood quite still, holding the Lama on a second man. But the third member of the flagellants was poised behind him by Judas's stall, a gun drilling a hole in Doc's back.
Put it down, unbeliever! Now! Now, I said!
Despite the tension of the moment, Doc felt amazingly calm. At last he was going to die. After all the adventures of the time trawlings and the eternity of loneliness and separation, it was going to end. Oddly, he found that he didn't really mind all that much. He would miss Ryan and Christy and the others, even miss the stubborn Mildred Wyeth. But he would finally be rejoining his lost wife and children, and that didn't seem too bad a trade. The man facing him was grinning, stumps of broken teeth gleaming in the dusty gloom.
Do like Brother Isaac says, old man.
Whatever happened, Doc was definitely a dead man, drawing on borrowed time with every stolen breath. If he dropped his beloved gun, then he might live a few minutes longer. More than that, if they took him prisoner along with Jack and Mildred, ready to be tortured and butchered, it would then be so much easier for them to fill the inside straight by picking up Christy and Dean. If he fired, he would certainly kill the flagey in front of him, to die himself a heartbeat later, gunned down from behind with no chance to use his rapier. But the explosion would at least give a warning to the others.
The best surprise is no surprise.
Doc's finger was tightening on the trigger of the Lama when they all had a surprise. Judas never liked human beings, seeing them only as potential targets for his spleen. The long-haired, sweat-stinking man with a lump of metal in his fist was less than a yard away from the big mule. The piercing scream from behind Doc had the simple effect of making him jump, tightening his trigger the necessary fraction of an inch. The single round of 18-gauge grapeshot had little distance to star out and struck the flagey in the center of his body, knocking him backward as though he'd been struck by a runaway war wag.
By the three Kennedys!
Doc had the presence of mind to drop the Lama into the straw, neatly switching the sword stick to his right hand and spinning around, ready to confront the third of the attackers. He peered into the darkness to see a very strange sight indeed. The flagey behind him had been hefted off the floor by some unearthly power. His head and shoulders were half inside the nearest stall, his bare legs kicking and flailing, his arms waving. His own gun vanished into the straw. It took Doc several seconds to understand what he was seeing.
Judas!
The mule had opened its cavernous jaws and clamped them across the side of the wretched flagey's skull, the teeth sinking in on either side of the man's nose, pulping his left eye and partly severing his left ear. Then Judas had simply backed away, using his powerful neck muscles to heave his victim off his feet and half into his stall. Doc stepped carefully past the corpse of the first man he'd killed, edging around the front of Judas's stall, thrusting his blade into the struggling figure, the classic blow of the assassin, up between the ribs on the man's left side, under the shoulder blade. He twisted his wrist as he withdrew the blood-slick rapier, maximizing the damage.
The word you're looking for is touché.
The helpless flagellant died far more quickly than he deserved. Judas was angered when he realized that his sport was over, and he tossed his head from side to side, trying to revive his victim.
Drop him, Judas.
Doc leaned over and ruffled the mule's ears.
You did marvelously, and I shall see you well rewarded with an amplitude of fresh provender, picked dew fresh by mine own self, once this skirmish is satisfactorily completed.
Doc pulled back just in time, as the wily mule cunningly dropped its victim and snapped at the old man's hand. Doc sheathed his sword stick in its polished ebony casing and picked up his Lama, finding that his fingers were trembling rather more than he'd expected. Doc felt an unaccustomed swell of pride at his achievement.